This is a HeadGum Podcast.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes. That is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What's the fucking motion in the
bag? It was an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to WHM On Screen, our special Halloween edition. I am here alongside Steven Sadek, Eric Siska, and Christopher Cabin. Recording to you live, well, technically not live, but on location.
Live in studio.
In studio at the Burns.
Live on tape.
We're just mere hours away from our live commentary on I Know What You Did Last Summer. And keeping in tradition of the Halloween franchise wars, as it were, this year we are covering one of the worst, the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Bottom rung.
As
far as franchises go, this is one of the worst ones easily.
I agree with Chris Cabin.
I find a good chunk of these movies watchable.
Yeah, well, I'd say more than like Chris Cabin's venture into the Saw universe.
I mean, that is the worst. Like, there's levels. Like, I'm not going to say there aren't levels. Like, I think Hellraiser is probably a little worse than this, but not by a... Not as big as you think.
Yeah, I mean, Hellraiser might win the worst for me.
I love the one with Lance Henriksen and what's-his-face and Superman in it.
Oh,
Henry Cavill?
Yeah, where it's like Lance Henriksen's like, now you're stuck in this computer game I made. Whatever, Pinhead.
And then, like, yeah, then Hellraiser just shows up to a party, uninvited, as always.
That's the classic thing with that franchise, though, because it's just collecting unproduced scripts of various movies from various genres. And then it's like, well, then the Cenobites show up.
I will say, though, that franchise has three movies that I remember clearly from beginning to end. Cannot say that about Nightmare on Elm Street.
Hellraiser 25, Wherever It Goes, with its where it's an unproduced Woody Allen script. It's like a 70-year-old man nebbishly trying to romance a 14-year-old girl, and then Hellraiser murders him.
We used to ride on all the rides down on Coney Island, and it was beautiful. And I thought about the movie stars.
Hellraiser is probably from Coney Island.
Yeah, that's all about right.
That. Yes, yeah. Pinhead definitely originated.
The last stop on the F train. I will show you such wondrous things beneath this hot dog cart. Here's Michael Murphy.
IVs on the beach.
All right, well, maybe we'll do that franchise next year.
We gotta figure that out.
But so we'll get through this one. So as always, we go through the movies in order and say where we ranked them is the idea.
Oh,
and I think
God.
With this one, it's fairly easy to start off. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven, 1984. That's everybody's number one pick, obviously.
Is
right?
it?
No. What?
Yes, it is. Yes, I'm of the opinion that the first movie is great. Start to finish. It's like a perfect movie. And if you've seen it, stop there.
I agree.
That's the end of it.
I 100% agree with Eric on this. Do not go into this.
It didn't need to be a franchise.
No.
More than any of the other ones.
It's a good, and I mean, look, it's a cool movie. I love the original New Line logo at the beginning, the red and black one.
Oh, man, because it's just cheap. It looks seedy as shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if that sign was of a motel, you're getting bed bugs from that New Line
man.
Logo.
Vacancy?
Yes.
I would stay at the New Line Hotel, right?
Bob Shea's turning down your covers.
You know, I got a hobbit next door.
Well, Ninja Turtles show up?
Oh, my Lord, it's a party.
Guaranteed. The Golden Compass people are doing the catering.
Oh, sure.
It would be just like that guy in the new documentary, Voyeur, the guy who videotapes all of the people who come into his hotel rooms. And like just
Wait,
has
this
a running
is a, this
feed.
Is a documentary?
There was a, it was a real life story. Some guy, it was in like the New Yorker, I think.
Mm-hmm. And he masturbated a lot?
I don't know if he was masturbating to all of them.
Yes,
some
yes.
of them for sure. But.
Yes. Okay, and what happens?
He got caught.
Well, that's a short documentary.
Yeah, I like this movie because Freddy is kind of like a hobo nightmare a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
big time. This guy could come out of a boxcar.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like, he's just dirty and grungy. And he's like doing more damage to himself at first to freak you out, like just to get in your head a little bit. He's like, I ain't cut my fingers off.
Yeah, oh, this doing anything for you? My nips are next.
The music's great.
The music's awesome. The music
is not so much good going forward, but the first movie is good.
You get a cool, which they do this a lot in these movies, actually, the psycho twist where, like, you think it's the blonde Tina at first, it's going to be her movie, and then she dies and it turns into Heather Langenkamp's movie, right?
Yeah, which is nice. That's a nice thing to do.
And it looks like a movie that was made on a really, like, nothing budget and came out. Like, that, there is a lot of energy to it. There's a lot of invention to it.
Yeah, people were excited to be making this movie, as it turned out. Of course, you know, the famous Johnny Depp deathbed scene.
Oh, yeah,
fantastic here. And Tina swinging around in that room is fucking great,
it's
too.
It's amazing.
It's all, you know, the effects are all really cool. And practical.
You forget about her in the body bag. I always forget the ending is a little Home Alone-ish. You know, she's getting ready for Freddy, man. She's getting them.
Just like the Frat Boys a few years later.
What I do love is, like, her mom is getting totally blotto wasted.
Yes.
And she kind of, at one point, she, like, looks at her and she's like, I'll deal with that nightmare tomorrow. Today, it's Freddy. Like, you know what I mean? It's just
one,
like,
monster at a time.
I can't handle everything at once right now.
That will kill me eventually. This is going to kill me tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The beef with the movie that I have is that sequel set up at the end. Because most
scene.
Most of these movies end with cliffhangers or just, you know, your favorite, like, you're not going to believe this situation. And as I recall from watching some of that, like, long-ass documentary about the series, Wes Craven didn't want to do that, and Bob Shea was like, but come on, the sequels.
People would go to Nightmare on Elm Street 2 if that scene didn't happen.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. Like, they'd be like, oh, another one of those movies that I like.
Well,
cool.
That's what really has sucked moving from the 90s to the aughts and now is, like, back then, like, at the end of Batman...
Ooh, the good old days.
Batman 89, like, there was no, like... I've heard of this Oswald Cobblepot, and he is running through the things, and we, like, hear about him on the fucking newspaper or whatever the fuck, and, like, no, they just made the fucking sequel. Now I have to list half your movie is setting up the next fucking movie.
I honestly want a t-shirt of you that says, just make the fucking sequel. Like, you know what? If you're going to make the sequel, just make the fucking sequel.
Make it! God damn it!
Don't hold my hand. Yeah, I think it's great.
And it's not like we're you know, it could have worked on its own. I even think with that ending, it's like, goofy enough almost to be like fuck you, like, this is just gonna be the
you're still asleep, it didn't work,
you know, but it could have still just been one, you know. I don't need The Witch 2, Black Billy's back, like
Black Phillip,
sorry.
Well, like, as it turns out, the sequel has nothing to do with any of the characters from the first movie anyway, it's pointless. It's just, it's just stupid.
You know, I want a Black Phillip movie.
Absolutely.
I never thought of that before.
Black Phillip origin story,
or like, just keep going, and you know what I mean, like, oh, now the country's being founded, or he's in the Civil War.
Who else would like to live deliciously?
It's kind of like A Dog's Purpose.
25 goats were killed.
Get that goat in the pool now. It's the pool scene goat.
Turns out they can't eat cans.
Oh my god, what a terrible end for a goat.
We got a lot of horns left now though.
Oh man. So speaking of sequels,
so that's number one for everybody.
Yeah, that's number one for everybody.
Okay, that's easy.
So next up, we got A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge from 1985, directed by a fella named Jack Sholder. Where does this sit with people?
It's my number two. It's a clear number two. It's an actual movie still. It breaks all of the rules of the first movie, but I don't care. I think there's a lot of cool shit going on. I think the pool scene's amazing.
Love that pool scene.
Like, I like that Freddy is like a fire demon in this for no reason. Like, it's just he's setting shit on fire.
He's like manifesting in the real world, and I think it's a bet. I think it's number two for me too. Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely number two for me.
Number three for me.
Oh
shit, Chris Cabin.
It's not. I mean, like, it's my second choice is a nostalgic choice. It was the first one I saw, so I feel like I had to give it a little bit more credit.
Yeah.
This one, but also, like, this one, I mean, this is where I felt the boredom starting to seep in. Like, these movies get boring quick. And, like, after the first one, where every minute I was like, something's happening, something's moving, you know, I don't feel like there's any lag. This one I felt lagging.
The homosexual stuff is really kind of interesting, and it's actually like, this is a movie that could be in a film class. The second one could be in a film class, and everything else cannot.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, as the story goes, like, the guy writing the screenplay, who is gay, was like, I'm going to put all this stuff in the movie and then see what happens. And as it turned out, nobody noticed.
Which is amazing.
It's so amazing.
It's so crazy.
But it's just awesome. It's like, it's a totally different... I mean, that's what I like about it. It's a sequel that is part of what turns out to be a franchise, but, like, it's completely different from that first movie in a lot of ways versus something like Friday the 13th 2, where it's like the same movie just with actual Jason, or Halloween 2, where it's like a continuation of the first movie. This is like its own thing.
It's like a riff on it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is dreams, murder, got it. Now we're doing something totally different. And like, whether you like it or not is whatever, you know?
Also, Kim Myers, who plays Lisa, always reminded me of the redheaded girl from Wild and Crazy Kids.
Oh, right. That
Yeah.
Wild and Crazy Kids. Wow.
Yes. But Donnie Jeffcoat, Omar Gooding, I don't remember her name.
I'll never remember
That's
her name.
That's unfortunate.
There was two girls. There was a redhead girl and like a dark-haired girl. They swapped out
at some point. Yeah, and I like this. And the guy playing the protagonist, Jesse, is an actor named Mark Patton. Mm-hmm. And I think he does a good job in this movie. I like the idea that, like, we've moved into the house.
Yeah.
Because it kind of reminds me of, there was a Fear Street trilogy that R.L. Stein wrote. All stories about, like, this, like, same, like, shitty haunted house or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, now you're in the Elm Street house. It kind of reminds me of that.
Well, it doesn't, like, what, Halloween 6 or something does that, too, right?
We're going back to the house.
Back to the house. Yep. Yeah.
Obviously, wait, this was first, right? Wait.
Yes. Before Halloween 6.
Okay. Well, I don't know That's, things.
I mean,
I don't know things, Mark.
Well, you're right. That was way later. That was 90s. Right?
The first three do feel like their own movies to me. Like, I will say that. And like, but it's like when 4 starts is when it starts blocking together for me.
I will say that parakeet death is like number 3 on the death meter. Like, it's just, it's one of the best deaths of the series.
It's just
that
a bird exploding.
Did not see it coming. Yeah.
And the dad is like so not wanting to believe that something's afoot. And he's like, well, you know, the air conditioning's been broken in this house, and the birds run hot, you know.
You're just like, what are you talking
about?
Yeah,
your mother just left the oven on or something. There's no, it's not that hot.
I also love when he reveals finally that this was the Freddy Krueger murder house, and he kind of has a grin on his face like, Dad got a good deal on this one.
It's one of those like, yeah, we moved into a murder house, but you would not believe the money I saved this family. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get credit for that, pal.
No, now everyone can go to college. Cool. If you make it. Yeah, I also like the fat guy with a shotgun. He should totally... I think this movie should end with the fat guy with a shotgun killing Freddy at the pool party.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
It had a kind of a John Goodman and Arachnophobia vibe from this guy. it felt like he could own a screen for a bit.
There's also the great little detail of the friend of Jesse's, like the kind of jockish dude who I guess they're like kind of friends. Foils, if you will.
Yeah.
He's definitely got a Stray Cats poster in his room. I was like, ooh, look at that Brian Setzer band.
Ooh, tear that down.
You get Bob Shay as the bartender in the gay club, which is fun.
He just loves making cameos in this series.
Man.
We'll get to the worst one in a little bit. So Nightmare on Elm Street 3, we'll get into this. The Dream Warriors from 1987, directed by Chuck Russell. I had this just right at 3, just going down the line.
Number 4 for me.
Oh.
Number 3 for me, actually.
Dude. Number 2 for me.
So this was the first
one
you saw.
This is the first one I saw, and I remember the television death very clearly.
Welcome to primetime, biatch.
Mostly for that line. Also, Larry Fishburne.
Fishburne. Credited as Larry Fishburne, which is what you want.
These are the two best actors in this entire franchise, which is obviously Patricia Arquette and Lawrence Fishburne. Both in this movie. That's, you know. That's,
are you not counting body doubles Craig Wasson on that?
No, I am not. Is that fucking Bill Maher?
Yes, Bill Maher. Okay. Yeah. Yes. He is. He's been doing fucking nothing. He is waiting for Bill Maher to die so he can make the Bill Maher movie and just act like an asshole for 2 hours.
Dude, yeah, you know, man.
One for the Bill Maher movie.
No. Todd Solondz's Real Time, starring Craig Wasson.
Oh man, yeah. It's about whatever the scandal that murders Bill Maher is. I'm into that. I'm kind of into that.
It's definitely a sex scandal.
Yeah, of course.
There's like 20 minutes alone on the making of DC Cab. I can see that happening.
Ooh. You know, other acting heavyweights in this movie, John fucking Saxon, who should have been the Loomis of this franchise.
You're absolutely correct.
Bring him into every movie.
You said that to me.
John Saxon is fucking available.
Well, yeah, John Saxon will do your movie. You said this a couple weeks ago, and when you said it, I was like, I can't believe I haven't thought of this already. What a great idea.
Yeah, he's just a crooked sheriff. He's like, you know, maybe he's not the star of every movie, but he's like, I know that Fred Krueger.
Yeah,
killed him 14 times already.
I'll take care of this, Zequel.
Daddy's got to go to work. I appreciate the return of Heather Langenkamp in this, too. There's a great moment where, like, Freddy sees her in the dream world and is like, you, which is kind of a nice thing, sort of a cool moment. She's also kind of smartly murdered in this movie, which is kind of nice. That sort of prevents her from coming back in sequels, which is kind of okay.
And I thought there were some good deaths here. The first one with the kid with the puppet strings thing, I thought was really good.
Oh, that guy who looks like Sean Astin?
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I don't mind watching him plummet off that bell tower.
Yeah, that's a cool one. I mean, the mental hospital thing is cool. I do like Skeleton Freddy at the end of this.
Oh, Freddy the Argonauts? Yeah. Yes.
I love that.
That kind of doesn't last long enough as far You're as right. I'm concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, that's what he should be from now on. Put that fucking hat on a skeleton, and that's your 4, 5, and 6.
I would love it.
Oh, man, that would be pretty great. Probably not as many box office residuals. Probably more of a direct-to VHS Puppet Master territory.
Is this the first of the bullshit Catholicism stuff that we get? Because it's not in the first one. It's definitely not in the second one.
Yeah.
Like, then we're just, you know, we're consecrating grounds.
There's a nun in every movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to add something. It can't just be, I'm a dream guy.
There has to be
some way to do something.
No, just make it inventive deaths and like make it about the community and be done with it. No more mythology.
So no attempting to get back at Fred Krueger.
No, I don't need it. I mean, you're always...
It's just murdering children. Yes. And then credits.
It's gonna happen anyway.
I guess that's right. I guess you got me there.
Well, we ran out of time this time. See you next year. Bye-bye.
I don't know. Like, I just don't need to know, and as we'll get into with the next couple movies, like, his fucking family tree, man.
No,
his fucking ancestors on the Mayflower? I don't care.
Well, I guarantee you it was in a draft.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. My great-grandfather's name's on the Liberty Bell.
Or all those times in Freddy's Dead, when it's all those times throughout history.
Oh, my God. That's...
him and the Saxons hanging out.
We'll get back into that. We did a whole damn episode on it, but it's pretty low on the list for me.
Yeah. All right, so getting into... A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master from 1988, surprisingly directed by Rennie Harlan, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty nice little detail there. So this sort of kicks off like the next chapter, because, you know, Nancy is killed, John Saxon is killed, that like wipes out those characters. So we come in with this new set of characters, sort of coming from the third movie, all the kids from the home that are left. Patricia Arquette is recast.
Yeah.
I guess... there's a couple of different things floating around the internet, but I think the most logical one was like she was pregnant at the time.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Right. Or you know what? Maybe she just got an offer to do a much better movie.
Boyhood.
She started Boyhood.
She was pregnant with Boyhood.
You're going to have Boyhood pretty soon.
Richard Linklater's like working in a fucking mall somewhere. Like, hey, you want to start a 25-year movie?
I saw this baby the other day, and I said, that's my movie.
Drug dealer, Ethan Hawke's going to be in it, too.
Oh, yeah. So you also, like, you have Kincaid comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, which was Patricia Arquette's character's recast with Tuesday Night. And Joey, who was, like, the mute kid from the third movie.
Yeah.
He's back, and he's just talking. Everything's fine. We feel that we've, like,
vanquished
Freddy. Everybody's fine. Kincaid is attending school again.
He's got a dog named Jason, by the way.
Oh, right.
That's fun.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Rankings, I guess we should do. Right?
Yes, I have this 5th.
I have this at number 3, actually.
I have this at 6.
Oh, wow.
5th.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I like this the most. I don't know. It seems prototypical of like, it's a, if I had to give somebody a Nightmare on Elm Street sequel, I'd be like, this is the one to watch. Like, it just, it has all of the sequelness of it. Like, obviously the second one is the best sequel, but this one's like, just, you know, it's Freddy in a high school killing a bunch of kids, and then we're out of there.
Like, it's kind of back to like the original formula. Yes. It's a nice reset thing.
Also, I think Randy Harlan's pretty good at
it. It's made by a real director.
Yeah, sure.
Which is the biggest thing. So, like, it looks, I was going to say it looks like a movie. They all look like movies.
Yes.
But, like, this, more than the other sequels, looks like a movie that's a little more interesting to watch.
Yeah. There's good deaths. I also think I don't like the kids in the third movie, and I'm glad that they're murdered in the beginning of this movie, and then we kind of just move on to a new, because that's why I fault the third movie, because you're supposed to love those kids, and I'm like, get me out of here.
No,
the third one, the fourth one, I just think that, like, cool. I think Alice is pretty cool. It's super 80s. That scene where she's getting ready and then she goes fucking A.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
I mean, it's just, to me, this is where I lose all sense of, like, what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree with you. I have no idea what's going on.
Four, five, and six, I genuinely don't remember a fucking thing about.
Fair.
The minute it's off. Like, I took notes to remember, but, like, in general, like, that, I could feel myself while watching it being like, I'm not going to remember a fucking thing of this. This looks like, A, it's just convoluted as shit.
Sure.
Well, this one gets really confusing, and maybe someone can explain it to me, because I've seen these movies a bunch of times and I still don't get it. How is it that she's traveling through time in the dreams? What the fuck is going on with that?
She gets...
It's the fountain.
Oh.
They're doing the fountain.
I believe What's-Her-Face, Patricia Arquette's character, like, bequeaths her some dream powers on her way out.
AKA which is, drugs.
Yeah. AKA drugs.
Go back to a classic thing. Stupid magic.
It's kind of stupid.
It's just stupid magic. And this is where they amp that shit up, and it becomes worse in everyone from here.
I like
6, it explodes.
So, yeah, that's fair. I love the kid that looks like Eli Manning, her boyfriend.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that dude definitely looks like Eli Manning.
And also the idea that she works at a diner, like some of the, like,
and not a drive-in nor a dive, but a diner specifically.
Yes, that serves pizza. A, get me out of there, Springwood, Illinois.
Oh my God,
Ohio. Ew.
First of all, yeah, you're in Ohio. Second of all, you're eating pizza at a diner, diarrhea town. Oh my God, diner pizza in Ohio.
So that was one of the horror thrills of this movie.
Yeah,
and you're gonna shit out your large intestine.
And
the
this
bathroom's
is...
broken.
Man, that is a nightmare, shitting my pants in a diner because the bathroom's out of order.
Oh, there's always a, can I go in? I guess I'm just going to have to shit in the parking lot. I guess that's what we're doing.
Well, isn't that what you would do just to keep him, like, to stay awake? I would just, like, sit on the toilet, like, because I'm always ready.
What?
Oh,
like...
I've fallen asleep on
oh,
some
really?
Toilets.
Oh,
hold on a second. Do you think Elvis Presley was trying to ward off Fred Krueger?
Better get him a gold throne. He's coming for me.
He's coming for me.
It didn't help. He gets killed in the end by Fred Krueger.
Yeah.
I said a 1, 2, Fred's coming for you. And a 3, 4, better lock that door. 5, 6, I grab a crucifix. 7, 8, I'm going to stay up late. 9, 10, I'll never sleep.
Shut up, Elvis.
Shut up, Elvis.
He accidentally starts counting sheep and falls asleep.
Is this the one, like, at you said the diner thing. This is the one where they keep on being like, oh, is the hunk going to like the shy girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is the hunk going to like the shy girl? Am I going to give a fuck? Probably not.
It's a high school thing, man. What else are you going
to
do?
It's a trope. It was a welcome trope to to establish a world. I know it's cliche garbage, but we're in Fred Town.
It was also nice to see those kids just get together.
Yeah.
You know, just a dumb jock that looks like Eli Manning and some woman with dream powers.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's definitely what I go for the next installment of Pork Rib Man.
Pork Rib Man.
Oh, I should have said, in the last movie in Dream Warriors, Freddy looks exactly like Jerry Jones, like the most like Jerry Jones.
All right, so now we're into A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The
Oof.
Dream Child.
Woof.
From 1989, directed by Stephen Hopkins. I'll tell you what, for whatever reason, I have this at 4.
Wow.
I found this more watchable than Part 4 for some reason.
Really?
This was number 7 for me, man.
Ooh, wow, really flushing the toilet on this one,
yeah,
huh?
I really just, there's a low death count, it's boring as sin. Eric?
Well, we just did five last, right?
We're doing
we're on five right now.
Oh. This is five.
Holy shit.
Oh, no. Man. Eric, you fell asleep.
Oh, my God.
This is dream child.
This is the dream child.
So six.
You have this six?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I have this at four as well.
Okay.
This is four. This is the one with the Kruger baby?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's what gives it that.
Okay.
It's so stupid. And like, like at some point I had to like switch from like, I'm going to seriously think of like a hangover movie. Like, this is what I need from it to like, how crazy stupid is it?
Yeah.
In this listing. That was what really pushed me. And that whole scene with the little fucking thing all over.
It's so stupid. We're doing so much Freddy's fucking family tree in this one, though, guys.
I know. And I don't know what to tell you, dude. But I remember when I finished this movie, I was like, fuck, I liked this more than the last one somehow. I don't know.
Even though I don't need the scene where Freddy's mother, the nun, is raped by 100 maniacs or 1,000 maniacs.
Oh, my God.
I do love the guard.
10,000 maniacs?
I do love the guard at the beginning. He's like, 99 maniacs, 97. All right, forget it. Lock the door. There's no nun in there, right? Lock the door for the weekend.
That guard, surprisingly enough, Natalie Merchant played him.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
I like that this is a continuation with the Alice character. I do too. I do like that character. Not a ton of other memorable characters in this movie. Though.
Is this the motorcycle guy?
Yes, he gets turned into a motorcycle.
Yeah. That is stupid, man.
This is the grossest one, and I don't like it.
Freddy the motorcycle?
Yes. Yes.
Freddy the motorcycle.
That's better than my mother the car.
I guess.
There's like the dinner scene with the posh girl and like her
oh,
cheeks.
God,
getting,
I, oh, God.
It's
I hate
a garbage
that.
Pail nonsense.
It is.
She looks like the radiator, the lady in the radiator from
right.
Eraserhead.
Yeah,
the
also,
big like chipmunk cheeks.
Yeah. Reminded me of Monty Python's. Goddamn.
Eat a mint?
Yes.
Life of Brian?
Yes.
No. Meaning of life.
Meaning of life.
Yes. Meaning of life.
Better get a bucket. Going to throw up.
There's also the comic book scene, which we all love.
Oh, it looks like a fucking AHA video.
Yeah. He says Super Freddy. This has to be in the bottom three for anyone. Anytime he says, it's Super Freddy. Oh, someone's still in the movie theater. Let me get rid of him. It's Super Freddy time. Fart, 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 fart.
You know what that is?
Uh-huh.
That is freakishly stupid. That gets points for me.
Okay.
For this specific franchise.
Actually, I think this is, now I'm remembering though, I think this is what my reasoning was. Because
okay.
In four, the one friend who looks like the character from Saved by the Bell that they like threw out the window, Tori.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a woman in four that looks like Tori.
Yes.
Is she not turned into a spider?
No, that's in...
Is that this
that's
one?
That's in four.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
In four,
yeah,
that woman who looks like Tori from Saved by the Bell gets turned into a spider.
Yeah. Yes.
That is so fucking repugnant and wretched, and I almost vomited, and I hate spiders.
Sure.
I think that's what must have done it.
Okay.
I ended five, and I was like, oh, no spider transformation.
Pretty cool.
Hey, pretty cool.
That's fair.
There's a Freddy baby, but you know what? No spider lady.
I like that.
All right. So now we're getting into it.
Freddy's Dead.
Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare from 1991, directed by Rachel Talalay. This is the one we did an episode on the Spooktacular a couple weeks back. I have this at number 8.
Ditto. Yeah, number 8 for me.
Ooh.
I have it at number 5.
Number 5. Wow.
7.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wait, so Cabin.
Mine's up more because I, like, again...
You really love Tom Arnold cameos.
I just, again, freakishly stupid.
Yeah.
Like, just out of this world, freakishly stupid. And, like, the other thing is, I don't, if other than New Nightmare, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the only one in the 90s.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And New Nightmare isn't really following the formula the way that, like, this has a very specific taste to it.
Uh-huh.
Whereas 4 and 5 kind of mesh together to me.
Yeah, this one, is like it's like spoiled cheese wrapped in a used diaper.
But it's all by itself in the corner of the fridge.
But Chris, you're the one that's saying like fuck mythology, and in this one we get like the dream people and
but
the goblins
so
got into my dream soul and
I wish it was about them. It's all the fucking daddy shit.
The
and
daddy
like
shit.
Freddy,
oh, yeah.
Fred Krueger like just making it on the scene as a serial killer or whatever
and
the fuck.
The fact that this movie has the audacity in like the first act when you see like one of these mysterious flashbacks to even
attempt to cover up the fact that the dude walking around that backyard is someone other than Freddy Krueger. What are you talking about? What are you fucking talking about? Of course it is. Why would you bother trying to cover that up?
And look, this is the one where you know that he's really just trying out material just to get a fucking a spot at the Comedy Store. Like, you
oh,
know
yeah.
what?
Oh,
like,
man.
No, thank you.
He's trying to get his tight five.
Yeah, this is the one where we're really getting into the full Bugs Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, Breckin Meyer's bouncing around in the video game simulation, God, man. Yeah. It's so... That shit alone.
A falling death in a Freddy Krueger movie, no thank you. He just falls in a hole.
He just falls in a hole. Well, that's the weird, like... We talked about this on the episode, but like the physics of that movie where like when you die, people are just evaporating or just falling into bottomless pits.
No, that's a new thing that I don't need.
I need Tina dragged across that fucking ceiling, man. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about with this? Opening up magic portals or whatever the fuck.
Ditto, yeah.
Is this the one with the chest shit at the end of it?
They all kind of... No, I feel like that's the four, maybe. Or four or five.
Maybe it's four. Four ends in the church.
Yes, that's one of the
stuff. Look at my nipples.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, my kid nipples.
So it seems like they're all running into each other and you can't tell them apart.
Yeah.
It's strange how that goes.
Oh, well, congratulations, Eric.
All right, so moving on. Now we're getting really weird. New Nightmare from 1994, directed again by Wes Craven, his triumphant return to the franchise. We see our episode on this from 100 years ago. Who even knows at this point?
Yeah, it's been a couple.
That's a back cataloger if I ever saw one.
The Saxons are listening to it.
Rewatching this one, one of the things that I don't know if we pointed it out in the episode, but I was realizing this time, the fucking drama. Like we are amping up the melodrama in this movie. I don't need it. I don't care that you directed fucking Tales of the Heart or whatever that shitty movie. Music from the Heart.
Music from the Heart.
Stop it. Just stop it. I don't need emotional horror movies.
I'll tell you what I need is more is a side movie of John Saxon, concerned friend.
Oh yeah.
Like
totally.
He's just so worried. Like it's just like him like bothering like oh no, Billy lost his mother. Oh no. And then my friend Fred had a divorce, and then like when do I have time for myself?
These are all the cutscenes from me and the player.
Just him talking to Rand, like, how you holding up?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like 100 minutes of him talking to everyone he knows. How you holding up?
I have this at number 6.
I got this at 5.
7.
8.
Ooh.
I fucking hate this movie. I hate a fucking like, oh, it's clever because it's like meta or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And then these actors playing themselves and they're somehow even worse than acting. And yes. it's awful.
You need to recast Heather Langenkamp. I'm sorry. Like she does not pull this off. I'm you know
it's asking a lot.
Yes,
all
it's
the
asking
shit
a lot.
With the kid at home and the babysitter and who gives a fuck?
Like I think that this movie flirts with interesting stuff. Like I think the first scene's pretty good. I think the earthquake stuff's weird and kind of interesting, like the claw marks. It's all kind of there. It's a bad movie.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like decent ideas or like seeds of ideas, but like you're watering that flower pot with Mountain Dew.
And I will tell you, this is the only one that's a hangover movie for me. Like this is just like on, it's very quiet. It's like, it's kind of a dull drama with some horror elements.
I could see that.
My God, this would make a hangover go nuclear.
Bad. I'll tell you, Chris Cabin, I've watched this movie hungover before and it was okay.
I'm not saying it's not going to help you out. I'm saying I will lose my fucking mind if I turn this on.
I like how you tested it in the field.
Absolutely, dude. I don't know. The thing that really bothers me, because I'm looking at it right now, the look that they give this demon that's supposed to be Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
It looks terrible. Like, here, I'll show you. You can look at it right now so everybody in the studio can see it. What shit? This is the most like Chinese barbecue beef tips, man.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It is disgusting.
Everything about it looks false. Like the clothing, the hats, nothing looks lived in.
He's wearing leather pants! Leather pants!
Well, that's the weird thing. It's like, Freddy is an elemental force. It's like, well, then why is he wearing leather pants? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he's from, like, give him, like, a medieval outfit or something.
Something. Oh, yeah, if he's walking around in a suit of armor.
I could go for that.
Yeah, or he's dressed like an 18th century blacksmith, maybe.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he forges his knife fingers.
Yeah, it's now they're wrought iron.
Yeah, oh, shit. Yeah, that would be fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks dumb. I hate how the voice is modulated.
Yeah.
But also, even though it's, like, this demonic whatever the hell that is sort of taking the form of Robert Englund playing Freddy Krueger, somehow this demonic thing still knows to, like, make some jokes here and there.
Yeah.
When he's like, hey, Dylan, ever play Skin the Cat?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. You're a thing from hell.
Yeah,
you don't make jokes. No. What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know. The devil's always funny.
Yeah.
The devil is always supposed to be kind of funny.
Yeah, the big mistake of this movie is they don't have enough Robert Englund, who is the best actor in the movie, which is saying something.
You know
what I mean? Like, you're giving, like, Wes Craven a ton of dialogue.
That scene with Bob Shay, oh my God, when he's trying to, like, court Heather Langenkamp to coming back to the franchise. Yeah.
Whatever the opposite of what that thing we send, like, all the great things of culture out into space, the opposite of that, shove the Bob Shay scene in that... Shove all of his scenes in this fucking franchise into that, buried in the ground, and set the ground on fire.
Oh, yeah, dude. I think we can accommodate
Send
that.
It to the core.
There you go.
Oh, right.
Melt it right down.
9 million degrees, dude, or whatever.
No, you're going to put that on you're going to make the Lava Men watch Bob Shay. Like, oh, I like real Bob Shay.
Yeah, that's what I want.
It's tough working down here with all the lava. Well, what's this? Oh, no.
I was going to say, you're going to make them revolt, and then they're going to come up and kill us.
That's a good point.
All the volcanoes go off.
Another dumb part of this movie, in the credits, by the way, there's a credit for Freddy Krueger as himself.
Oh, boy.
That's delightful.
It is so delightful, dude.
It's got a tone problem, man.
Like, it really does.
I mean, we probably went over this, you know, a million times in the episode itself, but, and again, not enough John Saxon.
Speaking of John Saxon, I do like how, and the movie takes way too long to do this.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But at the end of the movie, when he's like, Nancy, who's John? What are you talking? And like the real world, she crosses into the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, that's something. That's the thing. That's what I want to see more of.
An hour ago. By the way, this is the longest of the movies, probably, I think.
An hour and 52 minutes? It has to be.
Yeah,
it has to be. You know who could cut? That sleazy limo driver from the beginning.
Oh, man.
Oh, that guy will watch you sleep. All right. So now getting into Stupid City even further. 2003's Freddy versus Jason, directed by Ronnie Yu. I had this guy at 7.
I got it at 6.
4.
Ooh.
Eight.
Whoa. 4, huh?
4, yeah.
Nice, dude. So this is your favorite movie.
It's my favorite movie of all time. We did an episode on it, too. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it. And
was that two spooktaculars ago?
A couple spooktaculars.
Yeah. And it's on tape that I hate it. So it's verified.
It should be clear that, like, after, I think, the first three, like, at least for me and Eric, it's all garbage, we're just picking out the little scenes we like.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find which turd has the least amount of corn kernels in it.
I hate this movie. I hate Freddy in it. I hate what they're doing. I hate the concept of Freddy versus Jason, no matter how many dumb comic book tie-ins there are. But it's got Jason, which is, I prefer.
Like your buddies at
sure. My best. It's like, sure, you got Fred Krueger, but my best friend, my
he's
best
right
friend's
here.
Over here. And, you know, getting back to the idea of the formula, it's just killing kids.
Yep.
And there's some slurs in the movie, which are unfortunate.
Yeah,
it's very unfortunate.
Poor Kelly Rowland's in this movie.
It's dumb. I hate the head wink at the end, but I can sit. It's like a hangover movie for me compared to the other ones.
Yeah. This is a movie you can catch on cable and, like, depending. I can imagine myself, like, getting ready for work and, like, this is on the Sci-Fi Channel and then me kind of being like, oh, this scene maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
I'll
get the
watch this for a little bit.
Yeah, I could see myself doing that. It's not a very good movie, as we've said, but yeah, I do like that Jason's in it, and some of the deaths are cool at the very least. I do think the kegger scene is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's not in the cornfield. Yeah, that thing. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
there's things in that movie. I saw that movie twice in the theater, which was a huge mistake, but at least I didn't pay for either one.
Sure.
It's a better hangover movie than New Nightmare is.
Okay. It just feels like a fan fiction to me.
The whole
stinks of it. And none of it to me, the Kelly Rowland thing is horrible and it's hard to get over alone. But like on top,
we've never said that we've been making movies, Freddy movies, for 20 years. No one said that word until 2000. Are you kidding me?
So that alone should tell you where we're at. But they shoot this a lot like a Final Destination movie.
Big time.
They do.
And I was like, well, Final Destination has a reason for shooting it that way. They've really thought that through. This, it doesn't really add anything. It just makes it look a little better.
It's like, let's make it look like something that's really popular
modern
right now.
And, let's not have our own aesthetic. Let's borrow another aesthetic.
You took 10 years trying to figure this movie out and swing and a miss.
It's trash. Yep. It's absolute trash.
Speaking of swing and a miss with absolute trash, A Nightmare on Elm Street from 2010, directed by Samuel Bayer. I rewatched this last night, and some of you may have seen my Instagram. I videotaped myself throwing this Blu-ray in the garbage can, and that's where it remains to this day. Yep. This movie is so much worse than I remembered it being. I didn't like it when it was out. This thing is hot garbage. This, for me, is at number 9. It's at the bottom of the pile.
Absolute 9.
It's a hot 9.
Nine.
Yeah. Nice. It's 9s all around.
It's like, and I think maybe in one of the earlier Freddy arguments I talk about, it's like, oh, maybe it'd be interesting, like, just make him a child molester. That's what we're talking about. Man, was I wrong. Because this is... It's like, it's got all the tact and grace of a fucking bad SVU episode. Like,
some of the worst years of SVU by far.
It's just so classless and mean and shitty.
It's like 40 minutes we're dwelling on, like, kids being molested and murdered. And then Freddy has absolute zero sense of humor in this reboot. And I was like, oh, wait, that's why. You can't talk about molesting children for an hour.
Right.
Now, by the way, it's going up now. 40 minutes. Now we're talking about it for an hour.
Yeah.
and you can't just do jokes after that.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
This makes you like the jokes.
Yeah.
I didn't like the jokes. I hated the jokes. And now I miss them.
Dude, exact same feeling for me. I'm sitting there last night like, boy, Jupin, you fool. Mm. You fucking fool. You've spent nothing but weeks rambling endlessly about how stupid the jokes are.
Yep.
And then here we are in the most humorless, cold piece of shit iteration that you could have done with a reboot for this. And my God, is it terrible. I'll tell you another thing. What, did you have something, Cabin?
Well, I hate to see Jackie Earle Haley, like, continue to be fucking typecasted.
He's just, it's like Little Children meets Rorschach, and, like, that's it. Like, literally, he's in the Rorschach voice.
More warm and cuddly in Little Children by a humongous measure.
Well, the weird thing about the molestation thing is, like, in the Freddy mythos, it's like... You kind of almost side with him a little bit.
He's not speaking for the rest of us. It's just him.
Look, he's a child murderer, which is a bad dude. Like, that guy should go to hell, and he should get, you know, but vigilante justice brings him down against his will, and now he's got a vendetta against people, and he's just going to kill their kids.
They should have gotten him on a civil suit afterwards.
And I don't believe in the death penalty, and I'm like, you know what? Fred Krueger's a little aggrieved. I kind of get it. But in this movie, I molested your kids, and now I'm going to keep molesting your kids in the afterlife because I'm a fucking creep. And Freddy wants to fuck in this movie, man. Does Freddy want to fuck ever?
Absolutely, he does. And the whole, I mean, Jackie Earle Haley's performance in this movie is terrible. But the way that they make him look, which is like, the makeup is so terrible that, like, his eyes are barely open. He can't fucking move his mouth when he speaks. And because of that, all of this is some of the most horrendous ADR I have heard. And it's, his voice is like modulated, and you can tell it's not in that moment they're filming these takes coming out of the actor's mouth at any point in this movie. It's so fucking frustrating.
The playful, like, the jokes were playful, and it made the conflict, like, it amped it up. Like,
sure,
that he would, like, joke and be like, oh, maybe you got me, I don't know, oh no, and like stuff like that. This, like, because of the way they designed the character and the way they wanted the character to be, he always seems like he's got it on over anybody, so there's no tension in those scenes.
Yep.
You're just waiting for him to kill them.
Sure. Yeah.
And, like, I mean, Rooney Mara, man.
I think, that's the only good thing they do is they put Rooney Mara in this movie. And, I mean, like, that's not a good thing,
she's,
but, like,
sleepwalking the whole fucking time. I mean, it's...
Literally and figuratively.
Yes. It's a good bar bet. Like, you know, Rooney Mara was in that Friday.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally screamed when I saw the credit come on the screen.
That was the scariest part of the movie.
It kind of was. I was like, what?
The nadir of this franchise, this entire idea, is when, A, they dress Rooney Mara in the fucking communion dress, which is like, that's giving somebody something, and, like, you know, no thanks.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And she's running down the hall, and it's made of blood, and, like, fucking creepy Fred Krueger's like, hey, talk about a wet dream, right?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, jizz, but it's blood. Yeah. It's like, you know what, dude? No, thank
you. Both liquids.
And also, like, you know, the first movie, like the original movie, it's like yep, all these parents did this thing and they don't tell their kids about it and it's fine and that's what it is.
Yeah, it's a repressed like, whatever.
And then like he comes back and you know the Heather Langenkamp's alcoholic mother has to tell the tale over a bottle of vodka she's splitting with herself and the Lord. But in this movie, it's them being like, were we friends with each other as kids?
Yeah.
No, what's that? And it's this whole thing of like, we were hoping you repressed being molested by this dude that we also murdered. And by the way, these parents, you've got Connie Britton, wasted in this movie. She's an amazing actor, just totally wasted here. And also wasted Clancy Brown as one of the dads.
That's a cardinal sin in movies. If you put fucking Clancy Brown in this movie, he needs to be in this movie.
He needs to be doing stuff. And he needs to be not the high school principal. He needs to be the fucking sheriff.
Yep. John Saxon role, period.
Yep.
Like you're aping so much of that first movie down to like, you know, like the quote unquote, like hot babe is murdered in the same exact way as the first movie. And the boyfriend's blamed for it. And he goes to jail. He fucking dies in jail. Like it's all that same shit.
It's a little meaner because the guy has a cellmate. And he's like, oh shit, that's another 30 years on my cell.
yeah, like, totally.
Great. Fucking great.
This guy's getting blamed for ramming his chest, his fist through that dude's chest.
Yeah.
Also the 80s ones, there was this great juxtaposition between like, the kids were doing drugs and having, you know, premarital sex and all that, and they were having fun doing it.
Yes. Oh,
and that's juxtaposed towards the murder and the death and all that stuff.
Sure.
This one, they're not having, I mean, I think they're doing drugs. They're not having fun doing it, though.
Nobody's
really
having fun.
And it doesn't seem like many people are having sex, really.
It's a sexual abuse drama with fucking Jackie Earle Haley killing the kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, fantastic. It's wonderful.
99 minutes of this. I do like the first scene where the kid cuts his own throat. That's kind of fun.
Kellen Lutz from Twilight, by the way.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. And that's where, because I never saw this before, and I saw that, and I was like, okay, maybe this movie isn't as bad as everybody thought. And then I was like, oh, no, it's much worse.
It's just worse. That's like a totally fine scene. Also, what's obnoxious about this movie, and I was realizing it last night, in the whole franchise, one of the greatest things they do is you never know when someone's dreaming.
Yep.
And you only find out like as something fucked up starts happening.
Right.
In this movie, stylistically, it's like the lights go down, the fucking color changes, like the color temperature of the frame changes, and it tells you right away, like, hey everybody, she's sleeping. And it's like, come on, man.
Yep.
The one thing that's kind of interesting, and they don't do anything with it, is they talk about how when your brain is deprived of sleep and like you start dreaming and you don't know it.
Yeah.
There's all that kind of cool stuff and you're sort of hallucinating. There's like one good moment where they fucking just redo the body bag shot from the first movie. And Rooney Mara is like, the guy is like, what's going on? And she's like, oh, I just saw whatever in a body bag. And like, do more of that. That stuff was kind of cool. Like these hallucinations and things.
Oh, can I stop 30 tweets right now really quickly? Everybody in this room knows that Wes Craven initially wrote Freddy Krueger to be a child molester and then it changed. That's fine. It was a good decision. You know what I mean?
Totally
everybody made out in that decision.
Occasionally the producers are right. Occasionally they are right.
Exactly. I mean, the end of this movie, dude, I need Ice-T to come in and shoot this guy in the fucking face.
Let me say this. This shines a very positive light on the Friday the 13th remake.
Absolutely.
Hard.
It does.
Yeah. And the two fucking Rob Zombie movies,
oh,
man.
Oh.
Yep, absolutely.
Way, way better. This is a low point, and they do have the audacity to set up a sequel in two ways. One is, so like the end of the movie, they like burn him, and he's like, quote unquote, like in the real world or whatever, and we're doing like the standard, we're getting in the ambulance scene, and you hear some guy like, we didn't find a body! And I'm like, oh, okay, nice fucking throwaway thing. And then this last scare of Rooney Mara, like, looking at Connie Britton, and then, like, the fucking glove coming through the mirror, going through this woman's face, and, like, knives cut out the eyeballs, and he drags her by the head through this mirror a little too much.
I was okay with that. I honestly, you know, it's a callback to the original, obviously, like, the thing, and I... And, like, the fact that the mirror kind of goes regular again, it's gruesome, it's stupid, but at least it's not about, like, trying to fuck children. So.
That is a little too gory, but, you know, and I often think we live in a dystopian alternate timeline that's terrible.
Yes.
But I was thinking watching this remake Imagine if that Jason remake and this remake spawned five sequels each.
God. Wow.
Like, imagine if that was the world we were living in.
Shit.
You did it, America. You stopped these movies.
Yes. We
you voted with your wallet. You stopped the movie.
We stopped two monsters. Not the third monster, just two monsters.
Third time's a charm.
And then 8 years later, we're going to remake them again. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, that's
four
what's so...
Four more years.
I mean, it's so interesting about... this versus remaking the other two big franchises. Like, the other two, motherfuckers got a mask on. Does not matter. I do not care if you think Kane Hodder is the best Jason. It does not matter.
Nope.
But like this, where it's like, you know, Robert Englund put so much into making that character for better or worse. And then you got Jackie Earle Haley, who like can't even fucking speak for himself until he's in the recording studio. Like, you can't. I don't know. I don't think this... I think they're going to learn their lesson with this. Like, that was a fucking atrocious failure. We will never try to reboot it.
It's already in pre-production.
No, I don't believe that.
IMDb!
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, it's on the IMDb. What a legally binding piece of information that is.
But, you know, I think they will eventually
reboot it.
They have
to. There's no way they don't make another one of these.
I hope they've learned their mistakes, and I feel like when they reboot Jason, even though that got canceled and started and canceled again.
Yeah, it's been canceled so many times, it's like fucking Family
Guy.
I feel like there's enough shit going on in our culture, you know, like with the resurgence of like Stranger Things, like the 80s nostalgia, that I think they could get it right if they do it again.
Fuck, that's an idea, though. You want to do this? Remake it, reboot it in 1984.
Sure.
That's your Freddy movie.
Yes.
Well, I think
yes.
we posited that before. I think that is really the way you have to go if you're going to do this at all. But Freddy and Jason in 2018 with the man in the White House? Like, come on.
It's like, you're totally right, because there's nothing fucking scarier. So, like, and that's just, it's not even like this franchise, but just a general question of like, where does horror go?
I didn't see the It remake. Is that set in the past? In the 80s,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Like, so there you go. That's the thing. Instead of the 60s, it's the 80s.
Either Dream Master or Dream Child is on the marquee in the It remake.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
which one, but that is there.
So see, that made a bajillion dollars, even though it was only...
I think that's why why Chris's IMDb thing is probably right, because that movie did make a bajillion dollars, and it's kind of the same thing, so you could just do it again.
Right.
Yeah. Trust me, they're going to do all of them, and then Halloween, it's already happened
again. That's definitely happening. That I understand. But here's my thing. It's all about casting. And here's the thing. Like, Robert Englund, he's not a particularly, like, dark guy, you know? Like, you look at Jackie Earle Haley, and it's like, that guy's got fucking corpses in the basement. And I don't think it can be that. You got to dial it back. You got to find someone. I mean, maybe you go the route of an unknown.
Sure.
You know?
You can get Jim Carrey going. I think that'd be kind of something.
You would have fun with that.
Oh, man, that would actually be kind of cool.
It would be a weird reinvention for his career.
Or if you had to pay him, and you have to get a good director.
Oh, shit, we have to pay
Michael
him?
Michael Shannon.
Oh, man.
Maybe.
I think
I
he
don't
could
know
really have fun
that.
With it.
Maybe him as John Saxton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be pretty cool. But yeah, can you imagine just like, welcome to primetime, bitch.
Well, because I can see him thinking it's a challenge. Like, him having to, like, actually do something different.
Totally.
Michael, you haven't come out of your house in 3 days. It's John Saxon. I got coffee out here. Go away, John.
How you doing?
Doing fine. Ah, and that is the Nightmare on Elm Street rankings.
Well, we should do that. We should go through the rankings one more time.
Oh, right. Some people complain about this on the internet, so for those people, turn it off now. So we'll go through. Steve Sadek, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I got Nightmare 1, 2, 4, 3, New Nightmare, Freddy vs. Jason, Nightmare 5, Nightmare 6, and then the Nightmare remake.
Eric?
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, Freddy versus Jason, 4, 5, 6, New Nightmare, and then the remake at the bottom.
All right, Nightmare on Elm Street, 3, 2, 5, 6, 4, New Nightmare, Freddy versus Jason, remake.
Boom. 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, New Nightmare, Freddy versus Jason, Freddy's Dead, and then that atrocious remake at the bottom. So happy Halloween. We Hate Movies listener, thanks for tuning in, and get ready for Snipesgiving coming up in just a few short days at this point.
Ooh. And you know, while we're talking about Snipesgiving, we're doing a show at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
There
come
you
on
go.
Down November 18th. That's a Saturday night.
Mm.
The BellHouseNY.com for tickets.
And that is, of course, part of the Brooklyn Podcast Festival. Tickets are $15. 7 o'clock doors, 7:30 show, Blade Trinity. So once again, happy Halloween. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Sadak.
Take it easy.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes that is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks. You've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What was an excellent day for an exorcism.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.